Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show back with you for another week on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hope you had a great weekend. Sean Carey and Steve on his way in to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our Monday editions of the Steve Jones Show, always brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You know, this is the time of year you talk about spring cleaning. Well, could be the time to check out your policies. Make sure they're up to date, because when you turn to them, you want to be absolutely confident you have the right coverage you need when life happens. And the folks at Purdy Insurance can tap into the brands you know and trust and customize a policy for your needs and your budget. So get in touch with them. Stop by their office on Market Street in Sunbury or go to purdyinsurance.com. And we look forward to, you know, spending time with, you know, Adam and Truman Purdy and Steve Engel and everybody at Purdy Insurance for the big day coming up on Wednesday, May the 2nd, for the annual Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll give you more information as we get closer to it so you can lock in your tee time and, of course, support a terrific cause. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. stevejones@wkok.com. On social media as well. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. When you do that, the shows will automatically drop right to your smartphone and tablet each day, usually before 6 p.m. Eastern. And we always have 3 months of shows archived at stevejonesshow.com. Now, to subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast, just go to either the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play, and just type in Steve Jones Show. Bucknell, boy, they put on a show yesterday. That game was over when Kimball McKenzie put in that layup 5 seconds into the matchup at Soica. An emphatic statement, running Boston University out of the gym. So we got Bucknell versus Colgate on Wednesday night, 7:30, Patriot League Championship game. You'll be able to hear that live on Eagle 107. 7:30 will be the tip. Airtime will be 7 with head coach Nathan Davis and Doug Birdsong. And by the way, our sister station, too, Eagle 107. They'll have a live broadcast out in front of Soica Wednesday afternoon starting at 5. So stop over and say hi to Rob Center. NFL Scouting Combine is wrapping up in Indianapolis. Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he has been there since day one last week. And we are scheduled to have Jerry join us next hour at 4:06. We'll get more college basketball conversation into the mix tomorrow. Bracketology expert from CBS Sports, Jerry Palm, scheduled to join us tomorrow at 4:35. I mentioned Nathan Davis a second ago. Have him lined up again for another appearance later this week. And we'll continue the NFL conversation as well with Kim Jones from NFL Network, scheduled to join us on Friday. And of course, Kim has been the embed with Saquon Barkley. She has been tracking his progress before finishing his Penn State career. Did a terrific write-up last fall for NFL.com. So she has been the combine embed. This is really her time of year. She loves to get out to Indianapolis and cover that event, so we'll get her report later this week. And by the way, if Jerry on next hour, we'll also get some Steelers talk in with Jerry D. Been some information out earlier this morning that there's possibility the Steelers could be placing the franchise tag once again on Le'Veon Bell.
That's just temporary. Yeah. That's just a look. It just prolongs the negotiations. I mean, that's no big deal. Of course, everything going on, right? Nolf, Nickel, Rutherford win the Big Ten championship, right? Penn State qualifies 9. Penn State finishes second to Ohio State, but now with Nolf went twice, right? I still feel that they've got a great chance of winning it because they're going to get him back in the lineup. Hockey sweeps Minnesota. Got Notre Dame this weekend that won 5 in a row, right? Penn State basketball gets to the semifinals of the Big Ten in a sold-out Garden on Saturday. Things do need to happen for them. We'll have Jerry Palm on the show tomorrow. So look at Louisville, look at Syracuse, look at Utah, look at Alabama, look at Texas. Their results will have a domino on what happens with Penn State. All right. Apke runs a 4-3-4 today. A 4-3-4 Apke ran today at Pro Day. At Combine Day in Indianapolis. He ran a 4-3-4. Wow. Gesicki ran 4-5-5. Gesicki ran faster than Antonio. You know what Antonio Brown's 40 time was at the Combine? 4-5-7. Right? All of this is going on. And I get a text from some nut saying that IndyCar season opens Saturday at St. Pete.
That wasn't not me. Not me.
I know it's not you. You're stable. But this nut. I get one text message. Okay? Besides everything else that has gone on, I've got a lot of messages here and emails and so forth. Tune In Radio wants me tonight to talk about the NFL. Somebody in Michigan wants me on to talk about college basketball on Thursday. A station in Denver wants to talk to me about the NFL draft in Penn State later in the week, too. Okay, fine. I've got one text message that stands out from all the others. IndyCar is back this weekend at St. Pete. All right. What is going on? And my goodness, I mean, I know there's no worries on the staff. But do we all need to have, there's no worries on the staff at all, but does the entire staff have to be worried that we're all just going to have our time eaten up by drug testing?
Yeah, but I've come to the conclusion that nut you can't crack.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Everything around us that's going on, okay? Okay? Wrestling.
Well, the Olympics are over, sooner or later he was going to turn to the track. I mean, I've reached the point where it's not a surprise to this guy.
Everything going on. Wrestling gets 3 champions, finishes second. Nolf's going to be back full time in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So a chance to win the whole thing all over again. Okay, great. You've got hockey winning and sweeping Minnesota and getting to the final or getting to the semifinal at Notre Dame this weekend. They're in the NCAAs. You've got basketball with the great run that they've had, at least getting themselves into the conversation with what's going on. And people talking about whether Tony Carr is going to be in the draft or not. Blah, 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 blah. And I get, and I'm getting asked to be in. Can you be on this show to talk about basketball? Can you be on this show or that show to talk about the NFL draft? And I've got one guy texting me, IndyCar is back this weekend at St. Pete.
Well, someone has to stand out in the crowd.
Right. I mean, but, okay, you've got a crowd of people over here, which equals which equals like ratings, like human beings.
Yeah.
And then you look over here and there's a lone wolf that. Okay, let's talk IndyCar for the next 15 minutes. Okay, let's take the audience and let's actually put them in a car and drive them someplace else. Let's talk IndyCar for the next 15 minutes and take everybody in the car, several vehicles, pack them loaded with people and drive them to another radio station. Let's just do that.
Yeah, we'll just let him talk IndyCar, but he can talk about it down the hall with the other office doors closed.
Well, I can tell you right now, there's no interest even down there in hearing it. They want out. Right. So you got a lot going on. Kim Jones is going to be on the show. We know. Look, Kim's going to tell you straight out, first thing, I love Barkley even more than before. Okay. Somebody said that they had had five players four players ever that had perfect grades for the men of the combine. They said Barkley became their fifth. Okay. And that's just the way he combined. But then Gesicki runs 4.55. Now remember, you know, and Jack Ham and I talked today for a while. In fact, I forgot to text him Apke's time here. Of course, I got to get rid of these other text messages that are just eating up time and energy on my phone. Let's see. Okay.
There you go. Delete. See.
Okay. Delete. Suit.
Gone.
Gone. Gone. Okay. Now we'll go to Jack Ham. Definitely in. Although I did text. Jack's a big Seinfeld fan. Jack loves Seinfeld. So I texted him on Saturday. Just went to Central Park. I think I saw Kramer's horse Rusty. Okay, 45 seconds later, phone call. Jack was at a Penn State linebacker card show. He said, I had to call. He says, we're all laughing. He says,
probably one thing that could have trumped that was you and Girardi standing out in front of the deli, out in front of the restaurant on the show.
Well, we did see it, right? But we didn't go in. We went to this hole in the wall that there's no way in the planet you could find it, okay? And, I mean, I'm talking, it's not labeled for burgers. We were told, hey, best burgers in the city, blah, blah, blah. Everybody says that, right? But a guy that we trusted and like, okay, said that. So it's in the Parker House Hotel. So we walked in. There's this big curtain drawn in this one area. So Dick says, I'm going to go to the front desk and find out where it is. I says, yeah, it's probably behind that curtain over there. I'm completely joking. It's behind the curtain. And it was as advertised. It was really good. All right. So you've got those are the big stories of the weekend. Three champions, Nickel, Rutherford, Hall. And they're all going to be heavy favorites to win their weight classes at the NCAAs. Nolf went two, did the smart thing, shut him down, even though he probably could have won it. But look, you're trying to play a little chess game with him, buy him a little more time. They did that. Brilliant. Okay? There's another guy you think he can win it. Now, Joseph and Imart, that's going to be one of those, that's going to be tight. I mean, Imart's, you know, Isaiah Martinez is who I'm talking about. Imart is really good. Really, really good. So is Vincenzo Joseph. But again, Joseph has the one win against him, and that was last year's NCAA, which was an incredible deal. But you've got other guys. Nick Neville's is going to be fine. Shakur Rashid's going to be really good. I think Nick Lee's going to be really good at the NCAAs. They're going to be able to also rack up more bonus points, which is critical to winning this thing. And getting Nolf back, Nolf will give him bonus points. Hockey. Okay? They'd had that 12-game unbeaten streak. Then they hit that little rut in the road and just couldn't seem to get things going again, even though they're close in most games. Now they've won five straight. They beat Minnesota four times. You don't beat Minnesota four times in a row. And they did. They beat them four straight times. Beat Michigan State before that. So five in a row. Now they go to Notre Dame. Notre Dame from mid-October to January 31st was absolutely the best team in the country. From February 1st till now, no. It's a very winnable game for Penn State coming up out there. Very winnable. The goalie for Notre Dame is not good. He's outstanding. He's an outstanding collegiate goalie. Peyton Jones is really good, too. Now you got that. Now you got Penn State in this conversation in the Big Ten tournament. And the win over Ohio State obviously was great. Look, okay, let's dispel a couple of myths right away. Let's do some myth busters here so people understand. when they, as I told you a week ago, and I saw him again and talked to him briefly out in New York, but Bruce Rasmussen, the head of the NCAA selection committee, right? Dick and I had a chance to talk to him, and then I talked to him briefly on my own on Friday. And again, they look at the full body of work. That's how you get in. Now, Watkins, Hurt didn't play the Big Ten tournament. They've made no announcement on what's going on with him, except that it's non-surgical. So anybody that says, well, Watkins being hurt, that's why they won't look at him. Zero. You're wrong about that. All right? Just wrong. So if you say that, I respectfully disagree with you. Bruce Rasmussen told Dick and me straight out, full body of work is looked at to get in. Injuries are factored in seeding. Because at that point, okay, full body of work gets you in. Now, the seeding is the current snapshot. And that's where the injuries are figured in. So let's, okay, so that myth is dispelled. Let's go to the next part. If a guy declares for the NBA draft, oh, he might declare for the NBA draft. Good, I encourage it. Why? Because now you go through the process. And you've got longer now to make a decision as to what to do about your NBA future once you go through the process of being evaluated by NBA teams. You then can pull your name out of the draft. Or you can opt to stay if you like what you've heard, or you can opt to go back to school. You'll get a very blunt, honest evaluation from NBA people. They will not sugarcoat it for you. If you're a first-round pick, you get a four-year. You're going to get a four-year deal. If you're not, you might have some contract flexibility, but keep in mind, if they cut you, you get zero. There are no guarantees. There are no guarantees in your contract as a second-round pick. Zero. You can sign a contract, get cut, you don't get the money. Just so you know how it works. And the evaluation period is longer now. The NBA has been very smart about that, about pushing the dates back to give you more time to consider what to do. And I would encourage, take a Tony Carr. I'd encourage him to take a look. Why not? Find out. I think you're allowed to do it twice. You're allowed to do it twice. All right? Why not find out? That's common sense. And then you find out that if you decide to go back, what you need to work on to get yourself to the next level, because they will tell you. All right? So I hope that helped a little bit. And we apologize about the initial IndyCar discussion. We believe we brought the audience back by actually talking about subjects the audience wants to talk about. I think we did, didn't we?
You did. Even though he's saying blah, 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 basketball, wrestling, blah, 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 blah. But hey, he's the minority.
On almost everything. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Jerry Dulac, next half hour, we'll talk about
Le'Veon Bell and the franchise tag, which I think is, this time around, it's a no big deal thing. It's just the Steelers protecting themselves while continuing contract negotiations. But we'll talk to Jerry about that and about the combine. Troy Apke ran a 4.34 today at the combine. I'm not surprised, because Troy is not just a good athlete, he's a tremendous athlete. And I go back to August. I don't know that Apke's starting at safety. Somebody, I remember, like, watching Apke in the spring, you could tell Apke really had not a good spring. Apke had a great spring. You could see it. And there was not one time he wasn't in the starting lineup in the spring. Not one time. So I walked out of the spring thinking, nah, they're fine with Apke there. They'll be, you know, Apke's going to be a good player. And every speaking engagement I had, he was like the number one concern. I kept looking at everybody saying, I respectfully disagree. I have no issue at all with Apke. Hey, Apke's going to be darn good back there. Well, he had a really good season, and now he turns in a time like this, and, you know, he'd be a safety in the NFL. But the time is, I think, for most NFL people across the board, it's an eye-opener. I mean, he just, by those two runs that he put together, I think 4.34, 4.39 were the two, just made himself some money. Because they're going to put a tape in. They're going to like that tape. And remember, the All-Star game, he played well at the All-Star game at the Rose Bowl, including an interception. So, Apke's helped himself. Wrestling, of course, helping itself plenty with three champs, the Rutherford, Nickel, and Mark Hall. Nolf will be full go next time through. Hockey's doing well here. Bucknell is playing for the automatic bid. Colgate, all the marbles on the line. Great matchup coming up at Soika. We'll have Nathan Davis on the show Thursday, by the way. Hey, but they play for the bid on their home floor. Here we go. Time to have some fun. So, Bucknell, and not only that, Bucknell, I watched some of the semifinal game. Whoa, they were good. They weren't just good. They were really good in the semifinal. I mean, that was a locked-in basketball team on both ends of the floor. I probably watched maybe 10 minutes of game time. So, however long that is. But 10 minutes of game time, and like, they look good.
Oh, and you're taking your starters out at the under-8 timeout. That tells you something. And Zach Thomas only had 6 points. I mean, it just shows the tremendous balance they had on that team. Plus, Boston University star got in very early foul trouble. I think he fouled out with something like 11 and a half minutes to go. So, yeah, that was...
Yeah. I don't care about their problems. All right, so... No.
Neither does anyone around here.
No. I think that's fine. That's your problem. Move on. Let me tell you a quick story. I didn't get a chance to... Well, obviously, it happened after the show. So I'm done with the show on Friday. Now we have to make the trip over to Madison Square Garden. So the bus is going to leave at 4:25. So I get down there, get on the bus, get rolling. Okay, great. And the bus made a left turn coming out of the hotel, so we can eventually just make that just a quick left, and it's going to be a quick right under Central Park South and go toward Fifth Avenue. Also, when we went around made the left to put ourselves in a position to make the right, and also the bus went, like, had this jolt to it, like it dropped a gear. Like, okay, all right. So now we get onto Central Park South, and we're just about where the plaza is. And all of a sudden, the bus stalls out. Okay. Well, now he's trying to start the bus up. And by the way, the driver's Godfrey, who is just not good. Godfrey's awesome. I mean, I've known for decades, I've known Godfrey. The best of the best. So the bus is in neutral, and we start rolling backwards. Right? And he puts the brake on. Boom. Then he tries to get, and it starts rolling backwards again. And Nazir Bostic in the back goes, "Hey, man, there are cars behind us." Okay. So then he starts it up. All right. We're okay. Going to rev it up a little bit. Okay. All right. Now you make the right turn onto Fifth Avenue, going down Fifth Avenue. Right? Go past Trump Tower, all that stuff on Fifth Avenue. Go past Tiffany's.
where the suit had given me a list of things he wanted me to get, and I said, not unless you're paying. And so all of a sudden it stalls on Fifth. I'm like, oh. Then he gets it started again, and then we hit a series of green lights right in a row, and it stalls out again when we had to suddenly stop. I'm like, oh, man. Now it's snowing, it's windy, the weather's terrible. I mean, I'm talking like it was just 30-mile-an-hour winds. It was all part of that weather bomb, and the city got hit with being on the East Coast. So finally, okay, now we're okay, right? Get started again. Make the turn from 5th on to 31st. Now we're going to cut across 31st with the idea we're going to get over from 5th to 8th. And then 8th, once you get to 8th, then you essentially you're making a U-turn here. You go 8th on 31st all the way around the garden to the entrance side that the players need to go in on 33rd. All right? So just to give you a feel for the landscape. Evidently, there have been some car accident there earlier. The police are around, so it's a little more clogged, congested, and you know you're kind of moving a little bit, moving a little bit. So Godfrey takes the bus, and he moves the bus. You know, he gets the green light, and he's able to make the right turn onto 8th Avenue. You know, and I'm on the left side of the bus, so I see all the traffic. You know, well, now, of course, you know, you're out there, and then the light turns, but you're out there in the intersection, which he was entitled to be in, but then the light turns. Well, now you got people, the cars on 8th are all upset. The stinking bus is sitting there in the middle of the whatever. My lane, that guy over there, his lane can go. That guy's lane can go. My lane can't. I'm not happy. And this black car comes up, right? And tries to, and then Godfrey inched that a little bit, boom, and they collide. I'm like, I looked over at Rose Carter, who was sitting next to me. Oh, geez, Rose. I said, a car just hit the bus. Well, Godfrey's not going to get out and exchange insurance cards because he's trying to get the team in time because the game's at 6:30 and we're running out of time here. There's a certain time you're supposed to go out and start warming up. So he just keeps going in the intersection, brings it around the backside of the garden on 8th, and now makes the right turn onto 33rd. No issue. Okay? Except the guy in the black car has an issue. He goes flying around the corner, and all of a sudden, look, is it here he comes? And he's trying to cut the bus off, and he hits the bus. Boom. I look at the Rose. I said, the car just hit the bus again. Right? She says, what? I said, the car just hit the bus again. And the guy gets out of the car, and he's screaming at him, and Godfrey just keeps on going. He gets in the car, he slices through, and he goes flying up in front of him now and goes down into the garden parking lot area. Because this is all, well, there are police all up and down 33rd. This is a secure area, and the garden security are looking at him like, what is this? This is New York, you know. And in New York, they worry about guys like this as to what, in terms of appearances. Right, the appearance is a car flying into a secure area. That's not good. That's a bad appearance. Well, now he gets in there. The security's like, wait, whoa, whoa. And he gets out of the car and he starts shaking and whatever. So Godfrey gets out. Well, then the guy starts screaming at him. And all of a sudden, the next guy off the bus was Dwayne Anderson. And Dwayne's like 6'6". All right? And the guy looked at Dwayne, like standing, towering over him, and kind of backed off a little bit. So that was the trip in. Yeah, everybody has different trips. That was hard. And speaking of trips, let's bring in Brian Tripp, talk a little hockey here. Sorry about the length of the story, Brian. Great to have you with us, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a great story. And I'll tell you what, I don't think Godfrey, riding with him before, I don't think he needed any backup. That's my guy.
Right. Yeah, every time. I think the world of him. Awesome dude. Penn State's in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, 99.5%. They're basically in. I mean, everything would have to go completely haywire. They've got it. They're in a good spot.
Yeah, five straight wins. Now, obviously, four of them are against Minnesota. But let's face it, beating Minnesota four straight is something that just doesn't happen very often, ever, by teams. What have been the common threads in the five consecutive wins?
Steve, I think for the most part, they've played with the lead. And then if they have fallen behind, they've answered quickly. So you're not... you know what it's like, any sport. You're constantly trying to catch up and battle back. It seems like this team's had an answer for everything. If a call hasn't gone their way, even when they're playing with the lead, they're really resilient. I thought it was just a really gritty last two weekends. Minnesota, outside of that first game last week, I thought the three games they played after that were really good. And Penn State, Penn State was there punch for punch with them. They really played well. Peyton Jones was exceptional in goal all four games against Minnesota. I know he let up five goals on Saturday, but the guy made huge saves down the stretch when they needed it. Penn State didn't have a shot on goal in the final 7 minutes on Saturday, so Peyton Jones was certainly tested in that stretch. So I think just the character of the team, probably first and foremost, is a common thread. And then getting high-quality opportunities offensively. They're finding a way to get odd man breakouts, scoring dirty goals as well. So the offense being able to get its opportunities, certainly something that's been consistent too.
How well Sturt's played?
He's been, you know, when he got here, it was funny. He was a great goal scorer, but I think he's rounded his game more into a complete player. He's able to, he generates so much attention every time he's on the ice because he's so skilled. He's now able to take that and get his other guys involved. He really is, not just the way he plays, but his personality and his character. It's something that guys feed off of. So I think when he's going, the team kind of follows. And you can see he's infectious. He's playing with a high spirit, and then he's making plays. The play he had, the toe drag that was on SportsCenter on Friday, was electric. It was a crazy play. He's a great player, but when he plays well, the team feeds off of it. And you know what it's like sometimes when your best guys get going. That's what Penn State had this weekend with both him and Smirnoff.
Yeah, no, I mean, no question. I mean, and I saw the toe drag. Obviously, seeing the games was difficult because I was, you know, obviously I was doing games. But I saw the toe drag. I'm like, holy mackerel! The fact it made SportsCenter was really cool. Confidence is always something that is an interesting factor, and you can talk. Oh yeah, no, we're still a confident team. And if you're not winning, that's, you know, like, who are you trying to convince, me or you? Mm-hmm. In reality, now, where's the confidence after what they've done the last three weekends?
I think it has to be as high as ever, perhaps as high as in program history. To beat Minnesota, you said it to start, you don't beat Minnesota four straight times. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't. No matter if they're having a good year, bad year, it's still Minnesota. It's one of the proudest programs in college hockey history. And you have this six-year program with its back against the wall, trying to make a push for home ice in the Big Ten, which was huge this weekend. The crowd was great at Pagula. I'm not sure they win those games if they're at Minnesota, just the way, or even a neutral site. That was huge. And then to come out and beat Minnesota two more times to put yourself into the postseason, confidence is sky high. It was funny. The group never, during that eight-game winless streak, was down. They still had good spirits, but success breeds success. And once you get the mojo flowing, then okay, you don't have to. And I know the cliche is grip your stick too tight. Well, I think that does play true. The frustration goes out. You're down. Hey, we can come back. We can do this. It doesn't matter. And it feeds the locker room. It feeds the bench. And that's what you see right now with this team, where I think finally, Steve, things have consistently come together. And we've talked all year, whenever we've talked, this team's as talented as any. I think that was certainly on display the last couple weekends.
Yeah, and that's the key. Look, you end up winning. You're right. Success breeds success. But here's the other part, too, that I've always noticed now with 18 to 22-year-olds. Their ability to bounce back from something negative, I'm talking, is minutes. It's minutes, it seems, where it's the adults that are like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, oh, man. And the kid's like, yeah, I feel good. We're good.
Yeah. I thought that was on display last year, too. I mean, for the Big Ten tournament, all of a sudden, your plane can't take off from State College. You got a bus 6 hours. You don't get into Detroit till really late on Wednesday night. All of a sudden, you turn around and you play Thursday, then a double overtime game Friday, and then another double overtime game Saturday. And they found a way to get it done. It's a resilient group. It starts with the culture that they've developed from the start with Guy Gadowski and his staff. But the guys in the locker room, they're not really fazed by anything.
That's
and
right.
I think it's something with I don't know if it's because that's what 18 to 23-year-olds are like today, but I agree with you.
I mean, it is something I've noticed over and over again in recent years. It just seems like, quote, the players or the slang, the kids, all right, just seem to, you know, upset, disappointed, really, really hurts when it happens. And then a half hour later, boom, there's a switch flips.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
I don't know if it's just.
I don't know.
I don't know if it's just they're competitive. They're such athletes to be in the mindset. And look, I've never played sport at a high level. I think their minds are so unique because they're so competitive, they're so driven, and the perseverance it takes just to get to this point. I think it helps maybe put everything in perspective as well. So, I'm not sure what it is, but whatever they've got going, I like it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. All right, Notre Dame. Why is Notre Dame after being, Notre Dame, I would say from October to, let's say, January 31st was the best team in the country. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Why from February 1st now to March 5th haven't they been?
It's interesting. Number one, Cale Morris was so hot. I'm not sure if that was sustainable, their goalie. He is still playing extremely well. Number two, I would say they haven't really had much at stake for the last month. They had Big Ten wrapped up, basically had a number one seed for the NCAA tournament wrapped up. So maybe it's just the stakes. Now, can you just flip a switch and they're coming off a bye as well and all of a sudden things are great again? I'm not sure. Notre Dame was never a dynamic offensive team. They have great players on offense, but it was never a dynamic offensive team. When you're playing in 2-1, 3-2, 4-3 games consistently, and they start slow, they don't really score a lot in the first period, sometimes that can come back to bite you. So I'm curious, Steve, and we'll see how it plays out on Saturday night, if maybe it started to catch up to them where teams have found a way, made adjustments to get through their defense, or Morris doesn't make every save. Instead, he's just making 98% of the saves he should make. And it's given those teams that little opportunity and that little confidence against them to get it done. Because when you're playing those close games all the time, sometimes one call, one power play for the other team, one guy slips and stumbles, one soft goal, that changes the complexion of the game.
When they've played Notre Dame, what have been a couple of the swing factors?
Yeah, I thought in the series out there, Peyton Jones had a couple of goals he would like to have back. The series here, I thought Cale Morris was the swing factor, Notre Dame's goalie. I thought he stole both games for him.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I mean, speed-wise, Penn State might be the quicker team than Notre Dame.
Yeah, I think they are. I thought Notre Dame really had trouble with Ohio State speed, too, and then Michigan speed. So I like the matchup. I really do. I think Penn State, if they can get Notre Dame's defensemen on their heels, avoid bad mistakes or turnovers deep in their own end, that's the one thing Notre Dame consistently does. They capitalize on other teams' mistakes. And Penn State's going to have to play slightly more disciplined than it did this past weekend against Minnesota, taking a game misconduct penalty for a high hit in both games. You don't want to go into the penalty box. Don't give Notre Dame the power play opportunities. Don't give them odd man rushes and make them earn and work their goals, because when you match offense versus offense, Penn State, even this season, although they're 0-3-1 against Notre Dame, has had probably the better chances and higher quantity of chances. It's just Morris has been so good on the back end.
And finally, I know you like the tournament format, but this is a one-and-done this weekend, right?
Yeah, one-and-done this weekend. And the reason I think this is a one-and-done and then your championship's a one-and-done is that way you get to the regionals in 2 weeks and you don't have your team's fatigue going into the home stretch.
Brian Tripp, the play-by-play voice of Penn State hockey. By the way, Jeff Byers will be on the show next week. We'll preview the NCAA Wrestling Championship with him next week. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There are a lot of places to get insurance coverage, but only one place in the Susquehanna Valley ready to put four generations of experience to work for you. Hi, I'm Adam Purdy. At Purdy Insurance, we take the time to talk with you and find the right coverage for your needs. Everyone's situation is unique, so our approach is to customize coverage to best protect you. Whether it's home, auto, or business insurance solutions you need, call, email, or stop in to see how our commitment to personal service can help protect what matters to you.
Kim Jones on the show on Friday, Nathan Davis on Thursday, Jerry Palm tomorrow, Jerry Dulac next half hour. So that's what we have coming up. And plenty to talk about, especially with the combine with Jerry. And boy, Apke running a 4.34 today. Wow. I was telling you earlier, a guy called me on a show today that I was on and asked about Tony Carr in the NBA draft. You know, what do you think? Is he coming back? What's he doing? And I said, let's examine your statement here for a moment. You just linked a Penn State player as a sophomore to the NBA draft. I said, do you realize you just did that? I said, that tells you how far the program's come. By the way, I want to also point out something, too, about going to the G League. Do you know how much money you get for being a first-year G League player? $24,000 a year. And that Maine Delaware matchup doesn't draw a lot of people.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.